Welcome to the ninth episode of Tuned In with Trey. I'm your host, Trey Johnson, and the word of the day is decision, which means a conclusion or a resolution reached after consideration. Be on the lookout for when I use it. The song of the day is Differences by Genuine. You know.
My whole life has changed since you came in. I knew back then you were that special one. I'm so in love, so deep in love. You make my life complete. You are so sweet, no one competes. Glad you came into my life. You blind me with your love. With you, I have no sight.
So, why is that the song of the day? Like, Trey, what is you doing, baby? That's a love song. I chose this song because today, we're talking about that college life. And I'm telling you right now, when you decide what school you're going to go to, you're going to fall in love. It becomes everything to you. But Trey, how do I figure out where I'm going to go to school? Well, you're in luck. Today's episode will be a journey through the college process and what college is like now. This topic was inspired by my little brother, who's a senior in high school now. He had a lot of questions, and I'm sure many others do too. So I'm here to provide y'all with some of the answers. With that being said, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Trey Johnson. I'm a sophomore student at the University of Florida. My major is journalism with a specialization in sports media. I am from the 813 Tampa, Florida, and my dream is to be an ESPN analyst someday. Now that you heard my voice, I've brought three friends along, and next on the mic is my man, Serrano Davis.
Hey everyone, my name is Serrano Davis. I'm 19 years old. I'm from the Sugar Land, Texas, south of Houston, and I'm a second year economics major. And I'm on a pre-law track.
Okay, we're keeping the same theme of out-of-state students. The next person is Kennedy Simon.
Hi, my name is Kennedy Simon. I'm from Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. I'm a psychology major, most likely minoring in African American studies. And my dream is to be a trial attorney.
Okay, okay. And the last person that we have is actually the first friend I made here at UF. He's another kid from Florida, and his name is Regans Fortune.
What's going on, y'all? My name is Regans Fortune. I'm a second-year behavior analysis major at the University of Florida.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. I really appreciate y'all doing this with me. I think it's important to help the next generation get to this, to go through this journey, and I think it's important to do it more than just myself because all of our journeys are different. But to understand where we are now, we have to go back. So for the first question, I want to know, when did you start the college process? Like, what classes did you take in high school? When did you start doing, like, the standardized testing? And then when did you start looking at schools?
I could go first. I started, like, my college application process with, like, this kind of this sketchbook. And I would print out, like, school logos, and then I would write down all the information I could find on the internet about that school. And I'm like, okay, this is my kind of like a wish list. This is schools that I'm looking into. And I was all about those AP courses. I didn't take, like, AP Calc and AP Bio because I just knew it wasn't going to work out for me. But I did take other AP courses, and I took AP Psych, and that's what got me into psychology as a major. And then I took my SATs, mostly my junior year. I took that three times. I should have taken the ACT, but after the SAT, I just did it. But that basically sums up how I got into the process.
I kind of started the process my junior year. They kind of required us, because I was in the IB program, they required us to start our applications around that time to come back. Like, over the summer, they told us to, like, get your top 10 schools and then come back. And then, like, if it's realistic or not, they'll, like, help us and, like, let us do the application and process throughout that. Then during our senior year, all of our teachers helped us with our essays, and they kind of, like, really guided us through You had to have like a meeting with your guidance counselor, and it was pretty structured for you. And also, my sister was in college at the time, so she helped me and like recommended like what I should do for like my UF application and all the other schools that I was looking into and stuff like that. My test scores were okay. I took them twice each. I didn't want to do it the third time because at that point, like, there's no point in doing that. Yeah.
So for me, being raised in Texas, it started like from freshman year, I would say. I kind of always had an idea that I wanted to get away from Texas, you know, kind of see the world, see what else is out there. And then probably around junior years when I started taking my test, I started preparing for the SAT. I took it, I think, once, and then I took my ACT one time, which was like the fall of my senior year.
So you're like, smart.
Yeah, you're like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not going to get into that. But, and so I think the summer going into my senior year, my dad actually had me create like a list of schools that I felt were like my reach schools, my target schools, which is like the schools that you think you have a shot of getting into, like you want to focus on. And then your safety schools are your schools that, you know, you have like a higher chance to get in based on like your staff, versus your GPA, your test scores and your extracurriculars. And then as we got into the fall, is when I started applying for schools.
Okay. For me, the college process didn't start for me until junior year, and it started with the standardized test because we had the free one at the school as a junior. So that's when it really started. I was in AP classes before then, but I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do until my junior year. And then started looking for schools that summer, and just kind of, it went from there. But what I want to know is, what was the criteria for the schools that you were looking for? What got a school on your list?
So similar to Serrano, like, you know, growing up where I grew up, I was very blessed and had so much support as a kid, but I just wanted to see what was outside of where I lived. So I definitely wanted to go out of state, and I feel like all that I had been working for academically could get me out of state. So I was definitely looking at an out-of-state school. I wanted a bigger school. I didn't want to go to some small school. I'm into football. I was like, you know, this could be a factor, and just a good vibe overall. I feel like in hindsight, I realized that I kind of needed that college town. Like, I don't know what I would have done if I was in a school like in the middle of the city. So I would, you know, if I could recommend looking into some criteria, it would definitely be like setting, because, you know,
where
some
it's
people
located.
Yeah, some people come to Gainesville and they're like, there's nothing to do. But for me, it's like, I feel like, you know,
so
it's like, if you're on campus, it's like convenient. Like, if you really needed like laundry detergent, you don't have to step off campus to find laundry detergent or just random stuff like that. So
yeah. Also, like, just to preface, like, what you'll notice is like, schools that are harder to get into, like the town, it's always like a dead town. Like, there's never like a lot to do in that town.
Right.
I think it's for that reason that if you go to like, I don't know, some big school and there's like a really big town around it, you're not going to be able to focus because you're always going to be wanting to do the things around there. So I think that's the reason why it's like always going to be dead. So if you're trying to look for a party atmosphere, then, you know, go ahead, go to FSU. But if you want to like, if you want to be up there and like actually focus on your academics, then, you know, look into schools like UF or like schools that are ranked higher and stuff like that. So it's just whatever you prioritize is what I'd preface before you like really look into schools and stuff like that.
Yeah, like that selectivity is something I was looking into too. Like, I didn't want to go to some school that half of the applicants got into. I was like, you know, I worked harder than that. I want to be in a focused environment. And so I kind of was a little like stingy when it came to that. I'm like, I got into this school. This school is great. You know, a lot of people go here. But at the end of the day, like, everybody and their mama can get into that school.
Mm.
So that was kind of my thought process.
For me, the big thing for me was, in the beginning, I had two lists. So the first list was literally just, is my major at that school and can I play basketball there? And I was looking at like D2 schools to play basketball, but basketball didn't happen for me. So the second list was actually like more focused on getting that degree and a possible job after the fact. And you start looking at schools, it's really about like the size. Are you comfortable with the class size? Are you comfortable where it's located? And then for me, just deciding on where to go, finances is a big thing. I don't know about you out-of-state students, but I can't afford to go out of state like that. So Bright Futures in Florida really helped me out in determining where I decided to go.
Yeah. I just to speak on that, like when I was looking into schools, like I'm originally from Dorchester, Massachusetts. So I really wanted to go back to Boston. So I applied to Boston University, UMass. I didn't, my mom wanted me to apply to Harvard, but like I was being realistic at that point. So there's no point in doing that. And like I got into both Boston University and UMass, but like they weren't giving me anything. So it was like if I'm going to, especially Boston University, if I'm going there, I'm gonna be paying like $60,000. When I go here, I don't pay anything but rent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like those for out of state. I don't even consider myself in state because not like
okay, not like you from you're here, from like, Florida, bro.
That's a whole no. That's a whole different like no.
About where are you from?
That's a whole different conversation.
All right.
Okay. But yeah, I would. But yeah, just focusing on looking at the finances is a big thing. And then also my sister went here. So my, and it's, you know, top six school in the country. So like my dad, like he said, if I got into UF since it was in state and like it was cheaper than like I was going there. So like, even though I got into Boston, it was like still a big thing, but the fact that I got into UF and it was more affordable and stuff like that, then that was the reason why I kind of got in there. Even though I applied to every school in Florida, schools up north and all that, but UF was kind of like the school that was like it. But then also I just want to say like you don't have to apply to like 10 different schools to like go there. I know people that only apply to UF and like FGCU, which is like around my hometown. And then so it doesn't matter, like you don't have to apply to 15 different schools. If you're happy with what you choose or what you want to decide between, then just do that.
So for me, just kind of to piggyback off of like what Kennedy said and what I said earlier, I was really looking forward to wanting to go out of state. And so funny enough, my first option within my target schools was Washington University, which is in Seattle.
That's out there.
One, that's far up there away too. From Texas, and two, obviously I didn't want to go to the same school as my sister because she went out of state as well.
I feel that.
And had a good econ program. And it was my dad who told me that I should apply here. But I had no interest in going here just because like, all I knew about this place was Tim Tebow. And when I got in, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And my dad's like, he told me that, yeah, it's the cheapest of the other schools that he got in. So I was like, I mean, that's true. And I took a visit. And I was like, it's straight just because I'm pretty adaptable. So
I feel that. I feel like I could have went anywhere. I applied to, like, Kansas, by the Howard, which is in D.C.
I did, too.
I applied to – but also State was actually my number one. But – I got sold on UF when I came to do my tour, and I went through their journalism department, and it's like, it's crazy. There's so much opportunity here, and that's really what sold me on coming to UF.
That's just funny, because I live 30 minutes from Howard, and I don't find out. That's like,
wow. But yeah. You said you wanted to go out of state, too, so.
I mean, D.C. is technically out of state, so it's like, if you're going to pay out of state tuition, I better not be 30 minutes from home.
Yeah,
that's
like,
true.
My parents can come visit me on the weekend, like, that type. I wasn't, you know, but there are definitely people who go to Howard, where I grew up, and they have a great transition just because, you know, it's a whole different vibe from, you know, our neighborhood and our area. I wouldn't call it a city, because technically it's not a city. But I mean, it just wasn't what I was looking for. You know, maybe something on the horizon for law school, but
yeah,
it's not about to be 30 minutes from home.
I really wanted to go to Howard just for the HBCU
yes,
vibe,
yes.
Bro. Like that would have been crazy. Like the UF Black community, it's still. I was surprised, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be real with you. Like I was very surprised at how like good it is. I thought it was gonna be worse than it is. Like it's even though. Yeah, some people think it's bad because like it depends on where you come from, right? Like I went to high school around like a lot of white people, so coming here and seeing like a good amount of black people and then joining like organizations and like clubs and stuff like that have like other like black people who are successful is like really cool. But Howard would have been a whole different vibe.
I feel like people want to go for that reason, and then when they grow up in an area like you did, which is similar to where I grew up, then it might be just too much for them, or they'll end up being there, and you know, people might be hostile because they don't think that they're black enough or something like that. So that wasn't something that I was willing to risk. And plus, my dad, I don't know why, he just was like, you know, your network might end up being broader at a PWI that has a more notable alumni base. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. I took it with a grain of salt, but at the end of the day, I actually didn't apply to any HBCUs just because what I see is that they're more expensive. Like, it costs more to go to Hampton than it costs for me to go here. Mm. And it costs way more to go to Spelman than it costs for me to go here. And, you know, it's because they rely on their tuition because they don't have that same base that, you know, schools like UF do with $1 billion endowment or over.
Yeah, and they're much smaller schools. Yeah. They don't get as much funding.
Sometimes they're private as well. Yeah, it definitely costs more.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. And I was like, I don't know if that's what I'm going for.
But just to speak on, like, the networking that she was talking about, Howard, I feel like when you have a network of, like, Black people within that area, I feel like it's more, like, the connections and relationships are going to be stronger, right? Because you guys have, like, they want to see you succeed and stuff like that. So that'll make, like, that connection a little bit stronger. But it could go both ways. Okay. Either way.
Yeah, for Howard, because it's more well-known. But what if you went to a smaller HBCU, you know, that not a lot of people know?
No, that's facts. No, that's facts.
So that was the thing. Like, I mean, of course, like, a lot of people know about Hampton, but how many people who went to Hampton are, like, located on the West Coast? It was after me because, you know, I was just trying to think, where do I want to end up? And I still don't really know, but at the time, I was just kind of like, I'll pass.
So we talked a lot about just what was on our list, but what sold you on this city of Gainesville, the place we call home right now, UF? What got you here?
Okay, I'm being honest. Nothing sold me on,
wow,
nothing sold me, nothing sold me on, no, the city of Gainesville. Like, the city of Gainesville, I wasn't paying attention to around Gainesville. When I came here, I really wanted to go to Chapel Hill. That was my number one school. But I took the official tour at Chapel Hill, and then I took the tour here. And it's definitely a similar vibe because, again, it's that really, like, academic-focused college town, and, you know, everything seems to kind of flow into UF. Of course, we have, like, communities here outside of Gainesville that kind of get overlooked from the outside looking in, I feel like. You know, not a lot of people, like, acknowledge places like East Gainesville and farther out, kind of like Stark area, which is still close to UF, but not, you know, close enough for people to pay attention. But I feel like, you know, I got the same vibe that I did at Chapel Hill. So I was like, you know, I'll be okay here, and I definitely... I didn't know anybody, but I was like, I think I'll be okay here. And I really liked the people. I feel like when I came here, people, like, I just said hi. They're like, where are you from?
It's that Southern chocolate.
And, like, I guess. But also, like, the next day, I came here first, and then I also went to FSU because I toured. I got into FSU as well, so I went to tour at FSU. And it was raining that day. There wasn't a lot of people out. And the people that were kind of out and about didn't really acknowledge you. And, you know, especially, you know, when you see Black people, they're like, they, like, give you that little head nod, and I wasn't getting any of that, and I was just, like, a little concerned, like, I feel like, and also just, like, I just didn't like it, so I feel like that's what, basically because I didn't, you know, like FSU, and I knew that it was either going to be UF or FSU, or I also got into Penn State, and my dad was like, I really want you to tour there, and I was like, nah, like, I was looking at the tuition, I was like, and I know people that go there and they love it, but, you know, I just knew that at the end of the day, that wasn't going to be for me. So I think definitely the people and the vibe that I got when I was here really sold me on UF.
I like it, the vibe.
Yeah, I could say for me, I didn't even want to go here at first either, not going to lie. My dad was kind of, because my sister went here and she was, like, real successful here. My dad was kind of like, yeah, UF's the best school ever. Like, you have to go there if you got in. So I didn't even tour any colleges. I mean, I toured them when my sister went, which was like which was like a 4-year difference. But I remember FSU and stuff like that. I thought it was really nice. I wanted to go anywhere but UF because my sister went here. And we went to the same school for all of our lives. Like, we literally went to the same school. So, like, coming in, everyone's always like, oh, you're Valerie's brother, you're Valerie's brother. So, like, I wanted that to change. It didn't change. But at least, like, at least now I'm kind of making a name for myself because, you know, 4-year difference gives me a little bit more in college because people leave, but it's still tracking down, like, oh, you're Fortune. Because, like, I had cousins that went here too. So, but also, just coming here the first, like, week and meeting, like, all of you guys and stuff like that, that's what sold me. I mean, even though I was already, like, stuck here, but the fact that I made like good friends, and, like, it was, I knew I'd be successful with whichever major I chose and stuff like that, was kind of what really solidified me. And I'm happy I'm here now because I'm doing
big stuff. He's doing
a little something.
So for me, I guess I would say that I enjoy surprises. So when I took the tour coming to UF, I wasn't really paying attention to what Gainesville looked like. So I was kind of in and out of sleep on the car ride here from the airport. Another thing is that when I first got here, I was in band, so I didn't know very many people, just band rehearsal and back to the dorm, then band rehearsal and back to the dorm. And then, you know, when I met all these different people, I think that's kind of like what allowed UF and the Gainesville community to kind of grow on to me. So if I knew what I was getting myself into, I don't know if I'd be as happy or as satisfied as I am now. So.
Gotcha. I'm going to be real with you. I think I was brainwashed as a kid. When I grew up, there's a picture of me as a baby. There's a baby Albert, which is our mascot, next to us, and a football that has a Gator logo on it. So I was brainwashed. My mom went here. My grandfather went here. I have aunts that went here. It's a family thing. And then the tour got me here.
If you see this man's room and how decorated it is, I didn't even know they made blankets of Gators, but they do. So
I always had gear. Makes sense. Always had gear. So now we're in school. I want you to think back to freshman year. At what moment did you realize that you were in college and that this wasn't high school anymore?
I'll go, bro. So during my freshman year, fall of freshman year, well, let me go back. So summer of freshman year, we took like easy classes because we were in Promise. So we took like decent classes just to get us like acclimated to college life. And I was like, yo, this is pretty easy. It was easy. Yeah. We were having fun going to parties and stuff like that and like chilling. Like classes weren't nothing. Then I get into fall semester. I was taking like 14, 15 credits that semester. And there was one class in particular. It was a one credit class. It was Intro to Chemistry. Because my major at that time was physical therapy. And you have to take like Orgo and like Chemistry 1. So I just had to take Intro because my advisor was like, oh, just take Intro because you've never taken Chem before. So I took Chem 1. It's one credit. So one credit means like it's 1 hour. So you should only be spending 1 hour a week on that class, basically. Right. And I've literally spent probably like 3 hours a day on that class. And like, thank God for COVID, because like if I didn't have COVID, I would have passed with like, my GPA would have went down because of that class. I still passed, but taking that class was like, because it's called a weed out class. So it's a class where it's made hard on purpose to get kids who aren't like serious about it. And I guess I wasn't serious about physical therapy because everything changed after that class. But I'm grateful for that. But yeah, that class is what really like solidified it for me. I was like, yeah, this is not high school anymore. Like, teachers, professor did not care. So.
Same thing. I started in the summer. Me and Regan's actually met in the summer. But again, like the fall, in the summer, our classes were light. Everybody was spread out. And then I would go to the same dorm room and it would be packed with over 100 students. And I was like, yeah, that's a little different. That's not high school. And you don't know your professors on a personal level unless you go to their office hours and stuff like that. So that's really when it clicked for me that, hey, you're not in high school anymore. You kind of got to do things on your own.
I feel like academically, my transition wasn't that hard. I mean, the only thing I could really think of is I actually had to like study for math tests, like, which is, I guess, the thing that I never did. I mean, of course, like they would hand out the study guides and okay, do the study guide. But like, I feel like when I got here, I was doing like practice tests, like the teacher, like I knew every single question, like I knew how to do it and how to walk through it. But like, just lifestyle wise, I accidentally, like, I got on the wrong bus in between class. Like, I think it was, like, either the first or second week of class. I was just trying to, like, go change my shoes because I was wearing, like, uncomfortable shoes and I wanted to change my shoes. So I was trying to get back to my dorm. I think I was on the right bus, but I just missed the stop because everybody was, like, standing in, like, in the window, so I couldn't really see where I was going. And next thing I know, like, I'm just not on campus anymore, and to this day, like, I still don't know where I got myself to. I mean, I've been around Gainesville, like, not like that, but at least enough where I feel like I would know where I got myself to, but to this day, I've never been back to the area where I'd be like, yeah, this is where I, like, took the bus and got, so I had to get off the bus, and then I had to, like, I had class, like, maybe, like, 20, 30 minutes, like, I had to get back to campus. And I had to take an Uber to campus because I just didn't know where I was. I was by some gym, and I didn't even, like, you know, in, like a gym and, like, some, like, frozen yogurt place. That's where I was. And I don't know where that is, so, like, I literally haven't been back over there, but somehow I got out there.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. That's crazy. For me, this is kind of like a small picture of a large horror story of Calcum 1.
Calcum 1.
So, basically, I realized I was in college when, after I took my usual L in Calc, after I took a test and got folded, that same night, I think I was in, like, me and some of my friends, we were, like, in their dorm till the next day at, like, 3 a.m., and then I went to sleep and didn't wake up till 3 p.m. I think we went back to hanging out, like, 2 hours after that, and I was like, yeah, because in high school, normally, you wouldn't be out that late anymore.
Right.
Two,
not at all.
Your parents at some point would have told you, yeah, you gotta come home. At least my parents told me that.
What? But
in college, you know, you're just on your own, doing as you want, because everything is up to you.
Right. Kennedy, you mentioned transportation and how you got lost on the bus. It's a big thing when you go to college. You usually go away most of the time. I mean, not necessarily living on campus or off campus, but you're not at home. So it's like, how do I get around town? You have troubles with the bus? I actually missed myself the first time I got on the bus, but I have a good grasp on it now.
I don't mind and the RTS. RTS is great. I remember, I guess, you know, a lot of people where I live, they work in the government, and I think one of my mom's co-workers, husband's, works in DOT, the Department of Transportation, I guess, and he's like, yeah, I think it's one of the best regional busing systems, and I was like, cool. So, I mean, shout out to RTS, but I mean, I used to get around, I feel like I get around fine now. I have a scooter, so you know, scooting on campus, and everybody has their opinion about it, but I feel like you can really only go 20 miles per hour on campus if you don't want to get caught up, because UFPD is everywhere. Like, they just sit there and they, you know, they're just lurking. Like, especially, they're just lurking.
Do you speak?
No, I don't.
Okay.
That's why I said
you can only... that for public.
Yes.
I'll say it, I did.
Yeah, so you can only really go 20 miles per hour. So I feel like, you know, unless you're just being reckless, like, you won't be fine on a scooter.
I'll say my first experience on the bus, I feel like the bus system isn't meant for freshmen by yourself at yeah. first. I'll say it's not a smooth transition. Because plus, mind you, I've never been on a bus before that
right.
by myself. So like, it was during the summer, my sister was still here, and I had to go pick up something from her apartment, and she was busy, so she told me, just take the bus. She said, just take the 34 and just go by my apartment, you'll be fine. So, like, the whole time I was there, I was, like, so scared because, like, I thought I was going to miss the stop. And I asked the bus driver, I was like, yo, is this Campus Lodge? That's where she lived. He was like, yeah, you can get off here if you want. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll just get off here. Yeah. So I get off, and I was like, I don't know where I am. So I look, and her apartment's a mile down the road, bro. I called her. She's like, yo, I'm busy right now. Just walk. You'll be straight. Took me 30 minutes Dang. Just to get there. I was sweating. It was hot. It was 90 degrees. Like, that was my... After that, I was fine with the bus. But how I got around during the fall semester was I got a scooter. My trusty scooter had her.
Just lazy.
Got her for a good $500. No, it was the best investment you could ever make.
You could just walk everywhere on campus.
But I got there faster than y'all. So that's
sort of matter. But I feel like sometimes walking is just not for me.
Yeah, but I would just say, you know, be careful while you're on the scooter. You know, could get in accidents, could get hit by a car.
I've seen some crazy things.
Yeah.
And when I say crazy things, I'm talking about Regans.
Yeah. I'm currently in retirement from scooters right now, you know. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was driving down university. And some girl was in a turning lane. She had the blinking light to turn, so she had to wait to see if anyone was there. And I was just going straight chilling. I was just going, and then I see her start turning. I was like, nah, she's not turning. And she just kept turning real fast, because I guess she thought she could get in front of me or something. I don't know. But she got there, clipped me, flew over the car, and then I had I forgot what it's called. It's like a contusion or something on my hip, and I twisted my ankle and stuff like that. So. Wear your helmet, kids. Be careful. But I would still say invest in a scooter. I'm going to get another one, so
it's fine. All right. Interesting. Campus life and off-campus life. Me and Regans live off-campus now, but we've all lived on campus, and I'd like to know your thoughts on dorm life. I honestly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the atmosphere, just being around everybody. It's where you really meet your first couple of friends. But how do you guys feel about living on campus?
All right, so this is my second year living on campus. I'm an RA this year, but my first year, you definitely meet your friends on campus, especially in dorm life. In a communal bathroom dorm, which is basically like you don't have bathrooms in your room, you have to leave, and you guys all share the same shower heads and toilets and whatnot. It sounds gross, but I think it really adds to the college experience, especially as a freshman, because, you know.
We had 40 people on the floor.
Yeah.
With six toilets and three bathrooms, like five bathrooms.
It's definitely interesting. It's a humbling experience. Yeah.
Or five showers.
I think the best thing about living on campus is just being able to roll out of bed and run to class. I feel like that's the best, especially my first year. Like, I'm a very lazy person, so I will get up at the last minute, like, have an 8:30, getting up at 8 to go to class. So I feel like, you know, taking advantage of that is probably the best thing about living on campus. Of course, you know, it's just convenient to meet up with people. When you live on campus, it's just like, yeah, let's meet here. We're going to, you know, go to Chompit, because that's basically all we did was go to Chompit, I feel like.
Chompit is a restaurant. They serve chicken tenders and fries, if you don't know what Chompit is. Just nope, that's the only thing you can get at Chompit.
That's the hit. If you apply and get in the UF, you'll know Chompit.
Yeah, yeah. You know what Chompit is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I really like where I'm living now. I live on Lakeside, so it's kind of like apartment style. And I have my own room, so I have my own space, and I think that's the best thing right now, especially, you know, with just, things are stressful right now. I feel like the world is just, it's a lot, so I feel like having that, my own space to just decompress and not have to, like, socialize with somebody, like, 3 feet away from me is probably one of the best things. But, yeah, I feel like communal-style dorms, it's a humbling experience. I feel like when I first got home, like, from break, because I didn't go, like, my first year, I didn't go home until Christmas. So, when I went home, and I, like, didn't have to wear shower shoes, it's probably the best thing ever.
You wore shower
to,
like, shoes?
Whoa. Nah, I'm not gonna lie. There were some times I folded, too.
That's
I
didn't. Crazy.
Okay, now that's just disgusting.
In the beginning.
Like, yeah, in the beginning, I didn't know how important was, like, it was.
No,
yeah,
you got to. That's unsanitary. There are some hairy people.
Yeah.
There are some hairy people, and it's just not acceptable to be putting your bare foot on the shower floor like that. So, yes, we wore shower shoes. Us girls, we wear shower shoes. I don't know about y'all. That sounds a little nasty, but we wear shower shoes. And I feel like not having to wear my shower shoes and not having to, like, look behind me and check that there's no, like, hair, like, on the wall. Like, you know, just, like, I don't know what it is. But some people who have not their hair, they will just, when they wash their hair, because some people wash their hair more frequently than others, and they just stick it on the wall. They'll just, like, take it off their head and stick it on the wall. So I feel like I couldn't, you know.
I would still recommend, as a freshman, I would still recommend your first year stay on campus, because that's how you'll meet most of your friends.
Yeah.
That's how you get closer to most of your friends. And it's a cool experience overall. But your second year, I can't really say much yet, because, like, yeah, I'm off campus, but I haven't been in the, like, because we don't go to classes right now. So it's not, like, the same experience. I'll know more, like, next year, but I like the, kind of like what Kenny said, I like being by yourself and being, like, alone, because, like, I had a roommate, he was cool, but just, I wasn't used to that, especially, and you don't know the person, so, like, I would recommend freshman year, stay on campus, try to find somebody that you know as your roommate, like, that'll make it much easier, and then I would say go off campus also, because most of your friends are going to be off campus once you're, like, an upperclassman. Most upperclassmen are off campus, and, like, most of, like, the get-togethers you go to are going to be off campus, too. It's easier to move around because you'll be older, so you're going to be going places and stuff like that. Transportation is a little bit harder, but, yeah.
So a lot of kids come to college. They expect their academics, their grades to run as smoothly as they did in high school. You know, I had a 4.0, and it's going to stay that way when I get to college. But unfortunately, that's not always the case. So what do you guys do when you encounter a bad grade or a grade that's not necessarily up to your standards?
My first bad grade was, like, 3 weeks ago, if I'm being honest. I feel like
3 weeks ago? We've been in school for a while now.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're built different.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But when I got that grade, I was just kind of like, oh, well. Like, it was just, I knew it was a class that I was kind of just skating by in. I wasn't necessarily applying the concepts as I, you know, like, would normally. So I just kind of knew that it probably wasn't going to go so well. But then, like, you know, I doubled down and did more studying for the next exam and did a lot better than I thought I was going to do and, you know, did well, in my opinion. So I was like, okay. So I feel like, you know, I was really lucky to be doing my due diligence in high school, and it just was able to carry over. Like, I feel like the way I study works for college. I tweaked a couple things, but not anything major. So I feel like it's really just about, you know, how much work you put in is what you're going to get out. If you don't study, if you don't, you know, if you don't take the time to
do your work,
yeah, it's just, it's not going to work out for you. So I feel like, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, what's the secret to your, I guess, I do currently have a 4.0. I'm not gonna lie.
What?
I do. I don't know if it's gonna stay. I don't know if it's gonna stay that way after this semester. I hope it does, but I feel like the secret to a 4.0 is taking classes that you like and that you can just have your nose in a book and be okay. Like, you're not like that. I'm just like reading right now, and I'm like, I'm reading this and I don't care. Like, this is awful. I feel like, you know, a lot of the classes I've been able to take here at UF have really been thought-provoking, and it's been easy to study because I'm, like, genuinely interested in what I'm taking.
So what I was going to say, you know, you catch an L here and there, you just kind of have to take it in stride. It's not going to be the end of the world. It also has a lot to do with what you're studying and the classes you're taking and the structure of your classes. To say if you're, like a nutrition major, not to knock the major, but your classes are probably going to be a little less demanding as, say, someone who's studying computer science, because you have a lot of hours to do homework, and then on top of that, you'd be studying a lot, and the structure of the course can be pretty difficult. And there's also the fact that how you develop your study habits now when you're in high school and how that transitions to college, you kind of have to approach things differently. And that just comes from, you know, the structure of the class. I know in high school, a lot of your classes might be multiple choice, where it's just, like, fact-based, but once you get to college, some of these courses are more application-based.
Conceptual.
Yeah, that too. So, that's fine. You know, what works best for you.
Sometimes I don't mind conceptual because technically there's no wrong answer. As long as you have the framework that you need. Like, of course, like, if you're completely missing the whole mark, yes, you're just not going to get the points. But, you know, if you can back it up, they can't really be like, nah. You know, I feel like not, at least not in the classes that I'm taking. I feel like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm taking a risk and I'm like, I don't know if this is exactly what they're looking for, but I have the evidence to support it, and it ends up working out for me. So I feel like, you know, but take that with a grain of salt.
Honestly. Yeah, I think when you get higher in classes, and when you take higher level, like, psychology classes, yes, it's psychology in itself is conceptual, but the teacher's looking for, like, a specific thing. So it'll be like, oh, yeah, just make sure you can support your answer, but then you support your answer, and they're like, that's not what I was looking for. So. That's why, especially with psychology classes, from my experience, like, when you get upper level, like, 3,000 or 4,000 level classes, those kind of get a little, like, crazy. But what I want to say about this topic is, like, in high school, for me at least, there were some classes, you know, you could, I'll be real, you could finesse some classes, you could skate by and you could do whatever. And then there's other classes, obviously, you have to study for, like, math and STEM classes. So if you're coming into UF as a STEM major, that's like, you can't, there's no way you're going to finesse anything.
It's
like,
no, it's, days off.
Yeah, that's not how, especially UF, they take science and STEM seriously here. That's how they get their rankings and stuff like that. So just know those classes are going to be hard for no reason. Or, like, you know, for the reason that this school is, like, ranked high. So just be prepared for that. But also what I would say is, like, me, I'm not a STEM major, but, like, my classes, they're still hard, but kind of talking on the conceptual basis, like, they're more specific. Like, the topic that the class is in, that's what they're mainly going to be talking about. You'd be surprised how, like, in-depth they can get into. So you can't really, like, finesse those classes as well. So if you're used, like, when you come into college, your first couple of classes during the summer, yeah, you could finesse those. There'll be some classes, like, yeah, you can do whatever. But after that, like, after your second year, you're going to have to learn how to study. You're going to have to learn how to put in your, like, specific practices, because after that there's no real, like, formula to, like, finessing a certain class or something like that. So just to put that out there,
I feel like the sooner you learn how to study, the better. Like, I wouldn't wait to your second year to figure out how to study.
Yeah, that's just my experience, because, like, in IB there was, like, they usually do the same thing a lot. There was, for some classes, it's like the same thing. So, you know, we work together, i.e. to like to get through the class and stuff like that. So then I came here expecting to do the same thing. That did not work out. So like intro to chem, like I was coming in, I was like, yeah, I can just finesse the class, do whatever. Then after the first test, like the first study session, the TAs were telling us like, oh, this is going to be on the test, this. Then we went to the test and it was nothing like they said that they were talking to the professor. Yeah, they said like this is what the professor said was going to be on the test. I go to the first answer, I'm like, yo, I don't even know what this is. So like after that moment, I was like, yeah, this I can't keep doing this anymore. Like I have to actually like study and like look at what's going on in the class. So.
Yeah, I would say college is an adjustment. Yeah. Obviously, when you get that bad grade, you have to reassess the steps you took to taking that test and why it didn't go the way you wanted. So something that has worked for me, even though I don't use it probably as often as I should, I would say going to office hours and looking for or trying to figure out what your professor is looking for when you do that assignment or take that test. And then going back and coming up with a new plan to do better. And on the same idea of adapting or adjusting, our lives have been different since COVID hit. How has your college experience been since, I would say, March? Because we all left in, like, for spring break, and we didn't come back pretty much.
I'm not going to lie, it's been rough. I feel like if I could have somehow foreseen what was going to happen, I would have been at, in state school, or, in my state, and it wouldn't have been a big deal to, be at home, or, it wouldn't have been a big deal to still be in school. Because I know some people who are just completely changing their trajectory, and, like, kids in high school now are like, I might go to community college just because, everything that's going on, and, it's so uncertain. But obviously I couldn't foresee things, but, I'm here now. I'm so lucky to be in this focused environment and not have to be at home while my dad's working from home, and my sister, she's a sophomore in high school, and they're doing online school as well. So it would have just been, a little hectic in my home environment. So I'm glad that I'm able to be here. But I, at first I was really finding trouble to get that balance with social life because, I'm very precautious. I'm not messing with no COVID. So I feel like I was finding myself, having, very quiet weekends and not really knowing how to cope because I'm like, the next day I wake up, I'm just going to go back to school. So I was finding it hard to, like, maintain that same balance that I was maintaining freshman year that made me really love the college experience. But, I feel like I really hit my groove and I started to see a couple more people that I've been seeing that, that I was hanging out with freshman year. Still trying to be precautious in that, but I feel like, things have definitely gotten better compared to when I first got here in August.
I would say, so the spring semester when, everything, shut down, and we had to go back home, that was rough because, you're going back home, your parents are just like, oh, go do this, go do that, go do this. And I just started working with my parents, too, specifically, so, they would just be like, oh, you're on my payroll, go do this. So it was and I was still, this was, the tail end of the semester, so we were in, taking finals and all that. And then, on top of that, my friends came back, so I was getting distracted with that. And then I had a puppy also. We got a puppy. So that was, another thing. I ended out the semester good, still finished it by the grace of God. But going back home at that moment was bad. But then I got a chance because I already signed the lease for my apartment. That was the only thing that keeping me to come here. My dad didn't want me to come back. He wanted me to stay and work. But because I had my lease, so I was able to come here, and I've been chilling. I've been able to focus because, you're by yourself. I mean, I have roommates and stuff like that and friends, but I'm not with my parents anymore. They're not, making me do all this other stuff. So I was in that isolated, environment. And then also being online, I thought I was going to hate being online, but, I still prefer in-person, but I kind of like it in the fact that you can make your own schedule, right? You don't have to go to this certain, class at this specific time. You can watch the lecture late at night if you have something to do in the day, or if something comes up in the afternoon, you can switch it out, because that's what I've been doing. I've been really busy this semester, so that's what I've been kind of able to, and I'm really glad that I had the opportunity, but I like in-person classes better because of all this.
So for me, when things shut down, Well, I was kind of surprised by how fast everything had happened when things shut down, and then I went home. I finished the semester. It was kind of obviously very less engaging because I wasn't going to classes in person, and so kind of scraped by to get through the end. And then when it came to summer, I would work with my dad. Shout out to my boy Seth back home. If you're watching, listening to this, Dad, I was doing back-breaking labor in his warehouse. And the reason that I really wanted to come back to school is I had a job as an RA on campus. And so just working in that warehouse and sweating, I just thought to myself, I cannot be here because I knew I was going to be doing the same thing, working in the warehouse and trying to get through online classes. And so I'm just happy that I'm at least here. But when you're in person, you know, it's engaging. Also, when you're in person, you know, these like connections and interactions that you have with people and your professors and whatnot while you're on campus is completely different as opposed to, you know, when you're in a room, you roll out of bed, log on the campus, and then you watch a lecture for what, 50 minutes, and then you do your work, or in often cases, you procrastinate it and do it at some other day or some other time. So
I hear a lot of talk about how you guys didn't like being at home when everything shut down, and my experience is a lot different because when everything shut down, I didn't leave the city. I have a family house in Gainesville, so I just kind of eased my way off campus into the house. And, you know, it was a little lonely at times because everybody was gone, and I even took Serrano to the airport so he could go home. So that was a sad day. But I think online class, it's okay. Like you said, you can set your own schedule, but you don't get the same human interaction when you're on a Zoom call because people either don't have their camera on or they're not as engaged as they would be when you're in person.
I feel like I had trouble making my schedule. Like, you know, when I realized, I'm like, so I'm basically doing the same assignment just every week. I'm like, so when is the best day to do this assignment? When's the best day to do this assignment? And I find a lot of the times the assignments that I'm doing, I can't just sit down and do it. I have to read before I do it. I have to watch a lecture before I do it. And so it takes a lot of time. And I just had trouble finding, you know, like, when am I going to study? But when am I going to take a break? So I don't, like, my brain didn't combust. So I feel like in-person classes gave me that structure that I needed, like, you know, to be having it, oh, this is class time. I'm still learning, but it's not, like, full-on studying. And then having built-in time for you to eat, you know, you need to sleep.
Yeah. It's just, there's not that balance of a social life now. It's strictly school 7 days a week. There are no days off.
Actually, I try to do 6 days.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I try to give myself Saturday, and then I'll find myself getting a little anxious on, like, Sunday, like, I should really start something, you know, just to, you know, get ahead. And but I really
try. Everyday thing.
For me, after Friday, I don't do no work.
That's crazy.
I set my, on Sunday, Sunday night, I'll set my schedule, but make sure during the week I get everything done on the weekends.
Yeah, that's
what I don't do. No work.
Like, I just try to do today, that. I finished all of my assignments for the week, like,
that's
at 12.
No, I don't know.
I finish at 12, but then I have, like, this assignment that's due, like, three assignments that are due on Monday, and it takes me, like, more than just doing the assignment. I have to read, so I'm like, I'm doing that now. It's like, it's crazy that I have to carve out time out this week to do work the next week. Like, all my schools is different. I don't know what these professors are on, but it's just, it's different. But yeah, I try to not do any work on the weekend. I work on Fridays from, like, 1 to 5, and after I get off at 5, I'm not doing anything. Like, I was late in my day.
Apparently, I didn't set my schedule up the right way. You guys have days off, and I don't have days off. So. That's unfortunate. What are some of the things that you guys are involved in, either on campus or something you do off campus?
I can speak on that. So right now, I'm a director of outreach for Black Male Excellence Network. I'm on the weightlifting club team right now. Currently, I'm a part of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Okay.
Right now. And then I'm also a registered behavior technician. So I work with, like, kids who have autism and stuff like that. I do a lot of my work online right now. So that's what I was saying. This semester, I've been extremely busy. That's why I was really glad to have the online format where I can just, like, kind of, because I would set my schedule, like I said, I kind of set my schedule of like everything I have to do on Sunday for the week. And then the day before, like say Sunday, I'll plan specifically for the whole week and specifically for Monday. But like for some reason throughout this semester, at least towards like the tail end of the semester, like I'll set something, but everything, something would come up. So then I have to change it, and then something else would come up, so I'd have to change it. But like I still, you just have to remember, like while you're in college, it doesn't matter how much stuff you're doing, like prioritize school, because that's like what you came here for. Especially like I've seen some kids, like their parents are paying for them to be here, like out of state tuition, not y'all, like just people that are coming from like California and stuff like that, and like their parents are paying like 40-some thousand dollars a year for them to be here, and all they do is like they just party, right? Like they're not like focusing on your classes. Right. And that was something that I had to remember throughout the semester, was like I started out the semester really good. Then when things started to pick up, it was like it was getting a little bit harder. So I had to learn how to like I started to learn to just do all my stuff in the morning, so then I could just go to weightlifting practice, then do B-men stuff, and then do like alpha stuff or whatever other stuff I had to do. So I just, that's what worked for me. So I would say, you know, find what works for you. And then also like, don't get into too many clubs. Like, don't get into too many clubs while you're here. My freshman year, I was in way more stuff than I'm in now. I did tennis, weightlifting, B-men,
I mean, was busy.
LDI, like all this stuff. But it's like, I didn't really get anything. That's not what's going to look good on your resume. Yeah, you have a lot of stuff, but what looks good on your resume is like leadership positions, right? So like last year I was just a part of B-men, but now I'm like a director of something within B-men. So that looks better when you're trying to apply for a job. Or now I'm a registered behavior technician. So now I work with somebody, and that looks better than just being a part of LDI, which is like Leadership Development Institute. But I would recommend doing that for any kids out there or any freshmen out there who are like looking into that. So yeah, I would, even though I'm busy now, I have a good system that allows me to like have free time and come like hang out with friends at night and stuff like that. So
yeah. I'm probably not gonna be as elaborate, but my first year I was also a part of LDI, which is a freshman council, through the Black Student Union. I've definitely transitioned into, you know, a lesser role within BSU now. I'm just a mentor, so I have a mentee. And that's been great. I also am mentoring for a program back at home, and I just started doing that, which has also been great. You know, I feel like I just received so much support, you know, in this process to where I've gotten so far, and I just, you know, I have like the best family, and I feel like I can always give more support and give more love when you don't necessarily get the same support. So I've definitely been into mentoring this semester. I am a part of two pre-law like professional organizations here on campus, and then I also work at Student Legal Services, which is a legal office on campus in Gainesville, just, you know, for students who are having legal trouble, and it's free to whoever pays the student activity. I also had a really great internship over the summer. I got to work at a local state attorney's office in my county at home, and it was definitely manual free labor because, you know, it was an internship and it's with the government, and so you're not getting paid. But I learned so much, and it's probably one of the coolest experiences I've had, and it looks really good on my resume. And I'm just so glad that I was able to make that happen, and I'm definitely gonna, you know, stay in touch with the people that I was able to meet and connect with while I was there.
So for me, just kind of to piggyback off of what Regan said, you know, you don't want to find yourself too over-involved, you know, you might not get exactly what you're looking for. The best way to put it, call is defined, is a time in your life where you're really investing in yourself in terms of what you want to do and investing in your human capital in terms of like developing who you are. So with that, you want to find organizations, clubs, and things that you're interested in about, and that way you can work on things that you have an interest in for future terms or I guess for the present. So like for example, so for me, I am a resident assistant, I'm a block grant student fellow, and I'm on the debate team, and each of these things, I'm serving the people. So as a resident assistant, I'm serving residents, and I'm serving the housing department as a block grant student fellow. It's like a social activism organization. It's nonpartisan. It's about opening and engaging talks and hosting seminars and programs within that organization, they have opportunities for you to plan and host these different programs as a student yourself. And on the debate team, you know, I get to work on my public speaking skills and engage in some debates. So
that's a gem right there, I would say. Like, I didn't, that was really good to put it that way. Like, do everything that caters to, like, what you want to do in life. And, like, what will make you better off after you graduate? That's really good.
Yeah. You guys are a lot more involved than I was definitely last year. I was strictly a student, and I had a job. I work at Publix. But this year, like you guys are saying, getting into those clubs that are kind of specific to your major and where you see yourself going. For example, I have a club that I'm in. It's called Sports Media Society. And we get to meet all kinds of different people in the field, either UF grads or people like at the top. So we talk to people from ESPN, NBC, Fox. In one of my actual classes, we've talked to somebody who's in the kind of like the behind the scenes side of an NBA team. She works for the 76ers. So we've just kind of gotten to network with different members in the field. And that's really what it's all about. Trying to get your foot in the door, figure out how you can get to that job, that career that you see yourself in.
I would say also, like, when that kind of applies to when you're looking for, like, colleges too. Like, make sure you can, or, like, when you're looking for colleges, look for a college that can cater to stuff like that. Like, cater, if you're in the medical field, look for a college that's, like, close by to, like, a really big hospital, or, like, that can put you into, like, a really good medical field, or, like, look into a college that's good with sports, or, like, that'll give you opportunity, kind of like what Trey's doing right now. I would say look for that also, because I didn't do that, but I got lucky to find opportunities like that at this school. But I would say look, put that on your list also if you can.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on my show. I feel like we all got to learn a lot about each other today. Is there anything you want to add or promote before we wrap up?
I would say that things are just crazy right now, and, you know, social tensions, partisanship, polarization, pandemic. I feel like sometimes you could just get caught up in it and you're just like, how do I even function right now? There's so many things going on. So I feel like, you know, just take it one day at a time. And while college can just seem like a really difficult process to go through, especially after you send in your applications, it's just like, man, the anticipation. But I feel like, you know, yeah. Taking in advice and, you know, seeking out information, you're already doing the right thing. So don't get on yourself too much.
Yeah. I would also say I'm pretty sure we could put our, like, information in the description or whatever. Like, I would just say any college students out there that need help or whatever, or current college students or aspiring college students, you could, like, reach out to us and if you want more information or help, stuff like that.
Yeah, just kind of to piggyback off of what Kennedy had said, college goes by real fast, and it's kind of, once you leave high school, that's like your last idea of being a kid in a sense, and then college is your transition before you become an adult. And so I know a lot of kids that may come to college having a lot of credits are looking to get out as fast as they get in, but, you know, once you're out of college, I mean, I guess you could go back, but there's really not much of a point in going back, so you want to enjoy your time as much as you can, you know, take things in stride, take it day by day, you know, you don't want to rush things, you don't want to force anything.
Thank you for having us. I
really appreciate it. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Definitely.
Would you guys come back?
Of course.
All right. Might have to just do this a year from now. Give them a recap of how our year has been. But I really appreciate it.
So now you know a little bit about that college life. I hope that was helpful. You got a big decision to make. As much as I'd love for you to come to UF, I understand it's not for everybody. Everybody does want to be a Gator, which is crazy because it's great to be a Florida Gator. And some of you may not get in, but that's okay too, because there is a school out there for you. Just remember, college is open me. It will open you. Have you doing things you've never done? It turned me into a man. I'm so responsible, and I owe it all to my school. Your whole life will change when you make that decision. When you find that special school and fall in love, so deep in love, your life will be complete. The friends you'll meet, it'll be so sweet. Be glad they came into your life. Was your decision right? Just go and shine your light. That's the end of episode 9. Thank you all for listening. Please share this episode with someone who could use it. Every year, kids apply to college. Let's help them out by giving them some things to think about when determining where to go. If you have any questions, all of our information is in the description. Please reach out to us, and we will do our best to answer your questions. Be on the lookout for more content and episodes. And until then, stay tuned. Trey J, out.